Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
Time for another Zoomer on the Midweek Drive for Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbeam.com. Keeping the COVID-19 bugs at bay.
Very shouty Trek. The very kind words of the USA editor for, of course, the fantastic SFX magazine, which also features an amazing article about Lovecraft Country as well. It can only be Tara Bennett. How are you, Tara?
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
It's always a delight to feature you on the Midweek Drive, Tara. You know, it's become part and parcel of the essentials. And as I've said to Richard Edwards, you know, basically when I get my copy of SFX magazine, first thing I do is check out for articles by your good self or indeed Richard. And then I kind of get around to the rest of the copy and so on. So it's there because, you know, quality without, it's like cream rising to the top always.
We appreciate that very much. Thank you.
I've got to turn around and say, certainly allowing for the notion of still sticking with Star Trek Lower Decks, that's more than most of Trek fandom is doing. But we won't talk about that because that's another issue. You like Rick and Morty. You like the joys of Futurama. You might like Lower Decks. That's all I will say at this particular moment. In Kiev, proving that we can actually still keep a European angle going. An Italian composer of extraordinary skills and ability. It's Luke Corradine. How are you, Luke?
Alex, such a pleasure to join you and Ilana. It's been a while, but I can see that you're keeping well.
Well, that's nice, you see. I mean, it's great, Ilana, because there we are, the two of us in full vision. And another. Oh, Luke has actually opened up the whole thing. That's great. That's fine. Tara and Jessica, staying in the background and doing wonderfully well, accordingly. Tara, editor of SFX Magazine, and Jessica Bush, of course, North Carolina's finest. Right, now, let's go to sort of part and parcel the whole thing, because I've shared perception through the YouTube trailer around through both Tara and Jessica, and, of course, externally. Luke, composer extraordinaire, so many marvellous, sort of delightful things that he's put together, including the very presciently titled No Panic with a Hint of Hysteria. Luke, little did I realise when we were chatting on the South Bank in London back in 2016, prior to Brexit or 2015, that No Panic with a Hint of Hysteria would have actually been like the staple diet for where we are in the world today.
You know, I never thought about that, Alex. That's actually a good point and an interesting way to look at the film. But you're right. My God. Bizarre, isn't it?
Exactly. I think it could actually be a possible Democrat slogan, but, you know, let's not talk about politics at this particular stage. You know, just work
perfect
our way
timing, Alex.
And, of course, she's become a regular once again on Thursdays. It's the amazingly talented Ilana Rain, of course, director of perception and heaps more, including We Are All Cylons. How are you, Ilana?
Oh, doing great, Alex. Wonderful. The heat wave here in LA seems to have passed. It's just blistering hot instead of punishingly hot. So,
yeah, does that resonate with yourself, Tara? I mean, as another LA citizen, is that a fair description of the weather from Ilana?
That Ilana and I are not both big puddles of goo instead of human form is probably a miracle in itself. It's not been a good 2 weeks.
Yeah, agree.
And whilst we're doing a little weather around the world, Luke, what's the weather like in Kiev?
Well, listen, we've had a wonderful August, but I must say in the last 5 days, ghastly storms pouring down rains and dogs. Cats and dogs, I would say. But still relatively warm.
That's perfectly well. I mean, I think rains and dogs probably says it all, really. You've obviously been learning from our Prime Minister. Never mind. Life continues. Jessica, briefly, before we actually move on to the essence of this whole piece, what's it like in North Carolina? Is it still dark?
It's still in the void. It is very sunny today, just very warm. We've been having a lot of heat lately. I think a little different than California, but yeah, it's definitely that southern summer here.
Makes perfect sense. I will be quoting Tara from your article on Lovecraft, but before we get to that, have you got any questions you'd like to put to Ilana and or Luke as about their latest awesome movie, Perception, which of course is now available in online form in many ways?
It's such a strange world to release a movie. How are you guys doing in terms of getting the word out and also, you know, just trying to compete with the very right. strange world that we're in right now?
Well, it was actually released last year. So I just haven't spoken to Alex in a long time.
Nice. Yeah, we wanted to build the publicity, Tara. Build it up, you say.
So continuous.
We had the benefit, actually, of releasing in the before times and had a festival run and
good.
Openings and, you know, all the events that now just seem so foreign. And I actually have such compassion for filmmakers who are robbed of that experience, because the energy of a live audience in a theater is just incredible. And just being able to see it projected in all the, you know, the magnificence that you pour your heart and soul into when you're filming it, to see it live in front of an audience on a large screen with incredible sound and projection. To me, that's almost like the whole point of this process, and to not have that happen now for people is very sad. But yeah, so we're on Amazon Prime, and it's
good.
It's good. And, you know, it's very interesting because the feedback is been, for the most part, really positive. But one thing that I've experienced are the world of online trolls. It's very troublesome, because, you know, as a creator, you're not supposed to pay attention to stuff like that. And, you know, but there's this negative confirmation bias, and as many good reviews you get or good salutations, there's always that person, this anonymous guy, usually a guy,
yep.
who says something. And you know, we found out, like, before it was actually even released, and after only one showing in one festival, with we could count how many people were there, and they were all friends and family. 10 men went on to IMDb and gave it 1 star. And I was like, well, that's really weird. Like, how could these people have even seen the film? You know, it wasn't leaked. It wasn't this. And we spoke to our PR person, and she said, oh, yeah, you know, that's happened to several clients of mine. And they're all women. They're all female directors. Wow. And that, of course, got me researching and going down a, you know, bad rabbit hole. And, you know, it's like, it's a bummer. So it only has come up recently because someone brought my attention to that. And, you know, what do you do with that? What do you do with that negativity? What do you do with, like, it's hard enough to make a film, but you have to deal with this army of guys that are trying to sink female directors. And I'm not saying that. I don't
believe Ilana, you've just got to tell the Trump family to stop doing it. That's all.
Right. If only it were that
step
easy.
Away from it.
But, you know, I'm not saying this as, like, I'm really not about being a victim and being marginalized. It's just a fact of putting your work out there in the world and our online reality now more than ever.
And you know what it is, Ilana? It's so easy to do it these days. You just have to go online, have an account, or in some platforms don't even need to have an account, and just troll to death. I think trolling, however, has lost a little bit of its luster. I think the audience, the readers, have become a little bit more conscious of BS when they see some, I must say. But I can totally see how damaging it is. And I'm sorry, I didn't realize that this happened. I thought, I didn't realize, but I do
it's
know
on
that...
It's IMDb, so it's not a big deal.
It is, though. You know what? I would say it is a big deal. I think, you know, we're having a larger conversation about social media, certainly in the UK and the US, and a lot of how algorithms and companies are able to... use our data against us. But I think that there's something to be said, especially for sites like IMDb, that's supposed to be an advocate for the industry. You know, it is a place for you to go and say, oh, who is that person? Or how can I connect with so-and-so? And, you know, I'm an author. And so Amazon has a lot of issues with its reviews as well, where you weaponize that ability. And I think that these companies, just in a broader sense, have to decide, why do we exist? Are we on the side of existing for filmmakers and for creators, or are we on the side to be able to have an element of our technology be weaponized in the worst possible way, because you don't see them doing anything about it. And at the end of the day, aside from all of the other ills of social media, companies really have to take a stand to decide who are they there for. You're there for a customer base, and you're there for a customer base being the people that make the thing that right. is entirely your platform. I totally agree. And I think yeah. that there needs to be more conversations about that, because as an author, you can have the same thing happen as a filmmaker. My husband makes documentaries, and you rely on the altruism of that aspect of a site. And when it is, for whatever reason, trolling or an agenda or just to be awful, you know, I think those things have to really be looked at.
Tara, that's a really interesting point. Can I bring in Jessica Burtis? Because I almost feel Jessica, so is that we're almost having a communication in society seminar and you're back at Lincoln again, as opposed to being in North Carolina. You're listening to this as our youngest contributor today from that point of view, yes. as a student in North Carolina, and from that point of view, what are your thoughts on what Ilana's experienced and Tara's views and Luke's as well from that point of view?
I think they're definitely right. There is a big culture with trolling. I think it's kind of, to people around my age, it's like a joke. And listening, I do think it's upsetting to hear how much it can affect the artists who have their work just kind of brigaded by people who don't really care. And I do agree with what Luke said about how it's kind of losing a bit of that like appeal that it had at one point. Mm. I think that it's kind of become more of like, oh, why are you wasting your time? Like, just don't be a jerk about it. People don't really find it as funny or interesting as it used to be, at least.
It's saturation, isn't it? Yeah. I think we've all become saturated of everything, including trolling.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Perhaps everybody's just moved on to TikTok. I don't know. Short videos. Tara, it neatly brings us around to In the South of Madness. I think one of your shows of 2020 so far, of course, a fresh take on classic literature, Lovecraft Country. Because I think that probably will also be conceivably the victim of trolls or people who kind of think, what are you trying to do with respect to this agenda?
Yeah, I absolutely adore the show. I got a chance to see it early in 5 episodes, even before some of the next phase of press got to see it. And so you don't even have the ability to kind of talk to a peer and go, hey, are you liking this as much as I am? And so it really was exciting to see my reaction to it for that feature for SFX be reflected, at least critically, by a lot of people. And yeah, you know, I did see very much on the first episode when it dropped that there were a lot of the weirdest thing to say, Lovecraft stans, I guess, you know, that were, you know, trying to be blasé about what his history was, and, you know, even trying to quasi-retcon about him at the end of his life, and his stance and where he, you know, chose to align himself with the majority of his life. And I think the one of the great things that we're seeing, especially in the last year or two, is a cultural redefinition for problematic art. You know, a lot of us have a lot of problems looking at directors and writers and actors that we really loved, and then we found out since are very different from the art that they've participated in. And it's very individual to figure out where you lean into watching things and not feeling affected by it, or, you know, something feeling tainted. But I think in the case of what Misha Green, who is the showrunner for Lovecraft Country, has done is, you know, she wasn't a huge fan of Lovecraft, but she certainly knew his impact on everything that's come since. He's written it in the horror genre. And I think what's really brilliant, not unlike what Watchmen did earlier, you know, last year with superheroes, is you take what has been culturally very specific for almost the entirety of its history, and you reframe it, and it feels entirely fresh. It lets you look through the eyes of others. It lets you have that thing that I think so many of us have been saying is that empathetic opportunity to walk in someone else's shoes with things that have continuously been framed to us by one perspective. And what Misha's doing with Lovecraft Country is not only with horror, it's that she's taking all genre. And you'll see as the series expands that she's making a space for people of color and different types of characters to walk in the shoes and what we have typically seen with actors of one color or one ethnicity, one gender. And it's really refreshing. And, you know, it may not be perfect in every instance, but I definitely think that it's a show that has so much energy is so aggressive and ambitious with what it wants to tell that it is truly going to be on at least my top three list by the end of 2020.
Excellent. Sounds good. And well worth accessing. Interesting enough, in terms of social media and misuse of social media, I'll cite a genre favorite, Valerie Perrine, of course, much beloved for not only Can't Stop the Music, what a great 80s musical that was with the Village People at all, but also being in Superman as Miss Teshmaka, and of course, lots of other material. She hasn't died. Wikipedia announced that she'd actually died. No, she isn't. She's still alive. And in fact, we've got Stacey Souther, who's actually going to be making a documentary about her life and times. Valerie actually joining us on the show next week. I just want to put that out there. So a trailer head from that side of things. Luke, how did Ilana first get in touch with you, with Good Self? Was it something that she felt, I've always wanted an Italian composer who was fantastic, who's going to end up going into Kiev, etc.? What was the connection?
No. This is going back many, many, many years. I used to have a business partner and very good friend who sadly passed away, Philip, who used to drag me to all these festivals and market events all around London and beyond. And one evening he said, listen, what are you doing? And I said, listen, I'm in bed. I'm having a bad day. Well, get yourself out of bed. We are going to go to the Apollo in Piccadilly Circus, the cinema, the Apollo. And they are showing that there's a sci-fi festival there and we should go and talk to everybody there. And we did. You remember
what Louis Savvy would have wanted you to do, let's face it. You know,
yeah.
Right. Oh, yes.
Louis Savvy.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. Absolutely. I think he was there that night.
Of course, yeah.
He was.
It's his show, yeah.
And
yeah. Ilana, it doesn't necessarily mean just because it's your show you turn up. I mean, there are producers who don't, you know.
Yes. And that's how we met. I think we met after the film, Ilana, or before the film? I can't remember. After the screening?
No, we met after.
After the screening, yes.
After the screening.
And you were there, and of course, with all the other filmmakers, and you were there, you were just the more...
Yeah, it was before...
The more fun to talk to, I would say.
It was when I didn't understand at the time how much I hated networking events. Like, I just hated them.
Really?
But I didn't know, I was so innocent. So I just started talking to people and this is, you know, the connection stuck. So it was, you know, just because it was organic and real, I wasn't trying to like further my agenda, you know.
You hadn't read The Art of the Schmooze, Ilana, beforehand and actually sort of was saying, I think I'll try it at the London Sci-Fi Film Festival.
You were actually promoting...
Cylons. Yeah, well, Cylons. It was the world premiere of We're All Cylons and Wired magazine. It just, you know, online, it just picked it up. So that was great the night before. And I did my own PR for that. It was, you know, just I wrote a press release in the
and you did great actually with that film.
Sent it out and it just got picked up, so that was really nice. It was a really great event and just jump started a whole series of creative endeavors with London and Luke and Louis, and it was great.
Which is all and then we
did, and then with Louis we did the other short
Ellipse. I mean, I always felt, and I still do, I mean, I feel like the UK has a different understanding of science fiction that might be just closer to my heart in terms of like a European sensibility. But, you know, I'm absolutely a huge fan of American produced sci-fi. There was just something about creating and working with people overseas that now just obviously seems like such a different universe. Yeah. The idea of being able to get on a plane and make a movie just...
It's something out of the past.
Yeah. Guys, I've told you, the future is astral traveling. Astral traveling. That's what we're going to do, okay? You think your way through the travel and that'll be there. Tara, slightly different question. You clearly crossed the Atlantic or have done quite effectively working with SFX magazine and, of course, lots of other things that you've been working with. Your co-author for lots of things have been Paul Terry and so on. Have you noticed that difference between British and American sci-fi?
Sometimes. I think with the UK and with the US, we shoot so many US films in the UK now that I think it's blurred a little bit more, the sensibilities, unless there is, it's a pure British sci-fi IP and execution of it overseas. I definitely see more of a difference with European productions in sci-fi that you know are definitely less interested in kind of mainstream storytelling, which I love. You know, I love the things that get far more blurry and leave you more to deciding, you know, what the actual thesis and outcome of are certain things. And I think European sci-fi has a tendency to be less worried about that. And US is much more interested in making sure that everybody gets it in a really broad term. I think, you know, I think anytime somebody's doing something original anywhere and isn't afraid to make something that isn't going to appeal to everybody, especially in the sci-fi arena, I'm always a huge advocate for that. And, you know, Alex Garland's a great example of him doing devs for US television technically with FX. And that felt very European, and it was shot in England. And obviously he's a British director and writer. And that felt like a very European sci-fi take on something, even though it was populated by almost at least half of American actors. And I'm glad that it had found a home, and it's not for everybody, but it certainly was for me.
Yeah, I agree. I enjoyed it. I was even marveling at, you know, the establishing shots that he would do of the city. I'm like, wow, there is such a strong sensibility in just this one establishing shot, you know, the tone of the soundtrack, the filters, the lighting. It's exactly the same thing. Like, he was able to just pack in so much of this tone. And yeah, a lot of people I know, they're like, ugh. And I was like, no, I'm really into this show.
I loved it. I love it. And I kind of knew watching it, that it wasn't going to be for everybody, which is what Garland is. But I was extraordinarily grateful, you know, that it existed and that it was for those that were looking for something that I guess in some ways, Alex, as you said, there's a European sensibility to it because he wasn't worried, you know, about it being ambiguous or enigmatic or leaving you to kind of ponder the frame at the end and when it fades to black. It definitely was commissioned by a U.S. Network, but it definitely had some, as you were saying, Milana, it had some shots that were here in the Northern California for the campus where a lot of the story takes place. But everything that was done internally was done in England. So I think that's kind of a cool balance of something that retained its European and Britishness, even though it was a kind of a hybrid project.
You mentioned that, of course, because Jessica Burtis is she's the sole and present American correspondent for Resonance Rewind, a show which yesterday considered the delights of Space 1999's Black Sun, and I think came out fairly positively compared to various other views. Jessica, any thoughts in terms of that comparison between, obviously what I said was, shall we say, the 20th century Star Trek versus 20th century British science fiction as portrayed by Gerry Anderson in Space 1999?
I think it is very interesting. Can you hear me? Sorry. I do think it's very interesting kind of hearing all of your perspectives about the difference between American and British sci-fi. And I think it's really fun watching Star Trek and getting to kind of see the difference between that production, because I don't think it's something that I consider very often. I feel like nowadays we kind of, you know, through Netflix and all this and Hulu, we have such a big access to kind of any kind of sci-fi that we want, that often I don't really think about the difference between American and British sci-fi. So I think it's really interesting getting to hear the difference from someone's perspective who kind of goes into making these things, because I think I just, as a consumer, I my classic idea of like British sci-fi is Doctor Who and then American is like Twilight Zone. So, but I do agree. I think nowadays it's very more like a hybrid kind of thing.
You'll be pleased to know, Tara, Luca, Delana, that we are endeavouring to educate Jessica even on a sort of postgraduate line here, even though she might have left the University of Lincoln and be back in North Carolina. We're still obviously continuing this education by dialogue system.
Her referencing the Twilight Zone makes me extraordinarily happy.
Me too. You can't go wrong with that. It's good.
Exactly.
Historical context for today, especially.
Tara, is it your byline, TB, that actually covered Samurai Jack in the latest edition of SFX magazine, a video
Heck
game?
Heck yeah, that's my nerd jam right there, that's for sure. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Genndy Tartakovsky and his series, which, you know, in 2007 finally came to an ending, and everybody thought that was the end of it, but then they have a brand new video game that came out last Friday that's created by Genndy and his longtime show writer. That is in canon with the world and is absolutely beautiful. It's created by a Japanese game developer called Soleil, and it is a beautiful piece of art to play, and also a really fun jump into the world of what Genndy created. You know, that series has been around for 15 years, so it took a long time for that last season to happen. So yes, I highly recommend the game. It's a lot of fun if you're a fan, and even if you're just a gamer.
Which nudges us into that next line, of course. Robin Pierce from, I'll mention it again, Tara, Starburst Magazine. We're all writers together. And he's
all
still
good.
Very, very impressed with yourself, Tara. As you know, we've shared Zoomers together. But he, like myself, was very, very impressed with the DC fandom, in which, of course, we've also got the Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League video game in 2022. We've got 2021's next stage in terms of Gotham Knights and so on. I hold my hand up and say, I've never quite got into the video gaming culture. Ilana, are you a gamer? Are you secretly, when you're not actually producing film projects and directing and so on, is it a case of, I need to get my fix?
Oh, well, I used to be a gamer back when the games were actual consoles and in a pizzeria, Galaga, Galaxian,
yeah.
Missile Command. My favorite, and occasionally I still run into them at an arcade, and I'll play, and it's just, wow, it just comes right back, line up the quarters. So, I don't indulge in gaming now because I think it's like self-preservation, because if I did, I'd probably get hooked. And I don't need another thing to be addicted to right now. In terms, like with the internet itself, it's news. It's like, so no, I'm not gaming, but I've heard a lot. I actually wrote down the game that Tara said, because my son is a gamer, and he would probably be really interested in hearing that.
Luke,
I definitely recommend backseat watching it.
Okay, great. No, I will.
If he allows it, just take a look, because the animation is really beautiful.
Yeah, well, you know, I always try, if there's ever like an awkward moment in conversation with him, I actually ask him about his gaming, because he then will just like, phew, effuse and talk about it. And I am interested, and I think it's absolutely, like, the graphics are incredible, the art is incredible, and as you know, it's like a massive industry. I mean, doesn't it employ like more than like all motion picture studios combined, and, you know, in terms of gross product and
it's
revenue?
Huge.
It's huge. So it's something I don't ignore. I'm paying attention to. I can't indulge in the gaming yet. Maybe when I'm, 85 or 90, I'll just be like,
well, that's not 70 odd years, Ilana, so we don't have to worry about that. Luke, I suspect, if memory serves, you've also composed music for games as well. I mean, do you participate in this?
I'm actually at the moment looking into completing a very long, what it's been a very long project, a gaming project, and a very ambitious one for me. It's been going on for 2 years, and it's actually a sci-fi game called Tau Station. Which is fantastic. It's a first experience for me in gaming. As Ilana, being a kid of the 80s, 70s, 80s, I had lots of experience with arcade. So a favorite, going back all those years, a favorite game of mine was Space Invaders. I'm surprised you didn't mention that one, Ilana.
Of course, yeah. I mean, the classic.
And
that's
the Town Station.
Atari. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And the Town Station has allowed me to combine my love for film music and my nostalgia for games. Both, so it's very interesting. It's not as exciting as film, I would say, but from a creative point of view, it allows you a lot more freedom, which is great. Sometimes, you know this, Ilana, working in film as a composer, you tend to work a lot with stereotypes, and directors many times ask you to do what Hans Zuma did in his last film, or this and that, and you work around the temp tracks a lot
it's
of the time.
They ask you to do what Luke Carradine does. That's the key thing when people get very frustrated, so I've heard. But what
well, yes. Yes, in games you have a lot more free hand, and that's great. It's so refreshing. But of course, it's not as exciting. There are no there can be premieres, but you know, they're just full of kids and this and that. It's just not as, you know, it's not as exciting.
For me, Luke, the Tao actually signifies Fritjof Capra's classic text, The Tao of Physics, basically. T-A-U, of course, from that line. Jessica, will you be looking forward to the Tao? Is it a case of all of my lectures are being delivered online now? I'm having to remote learn in North Carolina. I need all the diversification I can get.
I think it sounds very interesting. I don't play many games. I think my extent of video game knowledge is Pokemon on the DS.
But good choice.
Yes, thank you. But my boyfriend loves video games, so I will have to tell him about that.
You can see it's interesting, the whole gaming soundtrack. Like Cormac, my son, we was playing this soundtrack. I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, turn it up. And it turns out it was like the Doom soundtrack, the Doom game, which
yeah.
is really great. I was like,
you mean
D-U-N,
D-U-N-E,
No, D-O-O-M, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a, yeah.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, well, here I've got a blanket recommendation. Netflix has a new docuseries called High Score, which touches on the creator, the Japanese creator of Space Invaders. It touches on Doom, the creation of Doom. And it is our era of the old consoles. And it's actually incredibly diverse. It brings up stories about trans people, LGBTQT. And then also a lot of people of color who were deeply important to all of those titles that we just don't know their stories. So I highly recommend that as a watch if you have it, and I think it's a worldwide release.
Thank you. That's a great recommendation.
Obviously, also plug the fact that Amazon Prime is indeed your source for Perception, for which, of course, Luke Carradine composed and Ilana Rain directed. So well worth going from that point of view. Love to spend some time talking about Experiment 77, Luke. Sounds intriguing. Would you like to just give a teaser for this developmental project? You could just say, well, it's somewhere between 76 and 78, if you wish.
That's a great pitch line, Alex. Experiment 77, it's an interesting film in that the writer draw inspiration from a personal story of a sister of his who was, and he still is sadly, the victim of pharmaceutical society, the big pharma, if you like. So she was diagnosed with some psychological problems many years ago, and that developed into an addiction to certain medications that then completely derailed this woman, who's the writer's sister, into developing serious schizophrenia and serious mental problems. And she's now in very dire straits, sadly. So Kim decided to write a story based on her sisters. And that's how Experiment 77, which in itself is a horror, it's a psychological horror, came to be.
So this person who's writing it is still in the midst of this actual issue. There's no...
Yes, sadly
wow,
so.
That's really interesting because like I personally, I would need some distance between an event and writing about it or, you know, I mean, you could write about it, but to like then want to put it into the world, it would seem I would personally need more perspective on the event.
I, you know what, and it's a shame we're online because I would just say that you're right.
Interesting. Okay, let's hold it there, Luke. I mean, it's an interesting perspective, and maybe we'll actually sort of look at it in another occasion. I have to plug, of course, SFX magazine there. I'm holding it up now, the subscriber edition, because frankly, Tara, I'm too uncertain to go into a newsstand as yet. So the subscribers actually help keep us alive as far as SFX is concerned.
Bless you for that.
There you go. The newest edition will be coming out on the 9th of September, I should actually say, with respect to the anniversary of the Borg and indeed the Best of Both Worlds episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. Jessica, it falls to your good self to effectively put those last two questions to Luke and Ilana and Tara. Who do you want to go to first?
Oh, okay. How about Luke? If he is in the void right now.
I think he's still there. He's just momentarily gone in the void. We've got his voice. It is radio after all.
Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer link today?
I have actually, yes. But trust me, they're all like this. All my Zoom calls are like this.
With the delights of Ilana Rain Taraban and Jessica Burtis online as well. This is outrageous. You know, here we are, sweating creative blood trying to get this whole thing together. Lord above. And you just say, it's just like, honestly, Luke, it's no surprise I spent at least, I think, a decade thinking you're actually French when, of course, you're Italian. Never mind. It's very confusing.
And I think you had a spell where you thought I was Spanish or something like that. We had a lot of fun with that, Alex.
And that's one of the challenges that we've been faced with as far as Brexit's concerned. But never mind. Let's not go there. Jessica, who to next?
Ilana, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer link with us today?
She's muted herself just to actually sort of check that we can lip read.
Leaf blowers in the area. Oh. But yes, I have. Thanks, Alex and Jessica. And thank you, Luke, for putting on clothes for this interview. All my time Skyping with him, it's been a real struggle.
Yeah. As I've often said, the etiquette of online material, I always say I will switch the camera on if the other contributor's got their camera switched on. If not, then I'm quite happy to go with name only. It's all very interesting from that point of view. And yes, I do tend to feel that clothes are quite an important sort of aspect of all of them. Jessica, that leaves our wonderful friend Tara.
Yes, last but not least, Tara, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer link with us today?
Absolutely. It's been lovely to get to know these creative people. Thank you for your time.
And interesting enough, talking about Cylons, and I appreciate, Ilana, you're more of a new age Battlestar Galactica fan, i.e. 21st century, as opposed to original version. But we've just had confirmed that we should be joined by Anne Lockhart, of course, who was Sheba in the original series, plus a whole range of other factors, including Tara, as you're well aware, one of my secret favourites. She actually guest starred in the Hardy Boys Nancy Drew mysteries. Now, there's a classic for you.
Nice. Aww, you're going to be beside yourself, Alex.
Well, look through that. Tara Bennett, Luke Carradine, Ilana Rain, and Jessica Burtis, huge thanks. Take care, keep on keeping on, stay safe, obviously, be bold, and continue to produce creative wonderment. Many thanks, folks.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Alex.